This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh boy, welcome to the Andy Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker, and I'm filling in. Happy to be with you for the next couple of days, and there's certainly a lot going on. I'm in my different studio here. If you're watching the live video feed, I'm actually at my job, and I had to reserve this studio for that. Ryan Wiggins, how are you, sir?
Great to connect with you again, Ryan. Ryan again.
Can I mention something real quick to lead off the show? This is something more personal, but I worked with someone in Ohio by the name of Rick Burguy, and he was one of the coolest dudes. And I found out he passed away from cancer last night. And you ever work with someone that it's so strange? Like, you can look at them and you only have good memories of that person. Like, there's nothing bad you can possibly think of. And that was Rick Burguy to me. And he worked in a small town. He was there forever, side by side with another newscaster by the name of Bob Ulm, who's blind since birth and has been doing news for 50 years in the same community. Rick was there right by helping him and producing and doing all these things behind the scenes in this small community. I was lucky to work with him for several years. And, you know, he had this laugh. He had this way of communicating with people. He was just the coolest dude, and I found out this morning he passed away, and that really made me sad. So I wanted to give him a little tribute here for all the people that we know that may have you've worked with and only can think of great things about them. I mean, truly only good things about them. I just wanted to say that real quick as we started. Can I ask you, what's the YouTube live chat poll, by the way?
Absolutely. It is the, is the GOP convention having an effect on the election? Of course, that's the big news of the week. It's amazing how much big news there is in the last few days, of course, but we are talking about the GOP convention because we've been airing it live. Of course, last night, Nikki Haley and DeSantis both spoke. But the question for you to answer today is it having an effect on the election?
The convention in the election. It kind of rhymes a little bit.
We tried, like, but it didn't quite work.
Yeah. My three-year-old would say it rhymes, and I would too.
I was. I said, let's do a rhyming one, and Ethan said, okay, how about bird and turd? And I was like, no, let's do something that's much more intelligent. How about convention and election? But it didn't quite work.
That works. If this was Eminem in one of his raps, he would make it work. I think most rappers find ways to do that. And a couple of nights ago, you saw, was it Amber Rose opened up the convention? And she is a... what would you say, like a adult entertainer? Like, what would her title be? Someone that grifts money from men?
Good question. She's one of those people who seems like she's famous for being famous, because I don't know why she's famous. She's very attractive, so that helps, but I don't know what she's done.
So she goes up and she's got a tattoo on her forehead, some words, whatever it says. And I think she does OnlyFans. That's so essentially it's a website where mostly men pay to watch women post videos of themselves and mostly, you know, sexual ways, we should say. And she goes up there and she puts her endorsement to Donald Trump. And I'm watching the clips and, I'm hearing what she has to say. And then I hear like the MSNBCs and the CNNs of the world that are saying, wow, this is bad for Democrats that people like Amber Rose are lining up against Donald Trump. And it made me wonder, how much has the RNC changed over the years? Because think about maybe when you were younger and you looked at the candidates, the Mitt Romneys or the McCains or the George W. Bushes, and it, depending on how far you go back, I know that politics has changed a lot over the years, but Has it changed so much that it's unrecognizable today? And is that necessarily a bad thing that Republicans are changing with the times? Because strategy would tell you that it's a bad thing to not change. Is this a good change because it means that Republicans could be more competitive in the future moving with where we are today?
Well, to win elections, yes. This looks very different. I mean, the convention, it's almost as if that's been the point of the convention. You have the traditional, you know, politicians up there. You had Nikki Haley. I thought that was actually a big thing for her to endorse Donald Trump last night. So that's no small thing. But you have a lot of just average people. I mean, you mentioned average Amber Rose. She's not a politician. They're bringing these people out more and more because they can. I think that's the difference, is because Democrats have always had celebrities. They have the endorsement of basically anybody that they want because it's cool to be in Hollywood and be a Democrat. You can't be a Republican in Hollywood. As we know, because George Clooney just had a massive fundraiser for Biden about 3 weeks ago and then turned on Biden. That's beside the point. But I think what we're seeing, Ryan, is at now, it's not as if Republicans never wanted to do these things. It's that you couldn't pull the head of the UFC onto the platform before. You couldn't pull some random internet star. You know, Trump's been doing podcasts and stuff. These are things that couldn't happen in the past, not just because of the technology, but because it was like, it's faux pas to do this when it's a Republican. It's not anymore.
So what is the line that you don't cross if you're just strictly looking for votes? Okay, so let me throw out a couple of scenarios for you. And this is where I get a little bit nervous when it comes to the Republican Party. And so let's look at one line that, let's say polling on abortion is a great example. And the numbers, when you look at it, for the most part, it's not a popular stance to be against abortion. So I know a lot of times Republicans vote, and this is a big issue for them, to talk about right to life, meaning that the life of that child is valuable and is actually has rights, including the right to life. That's an important deal. What if the polling starts to turn even further? Do you find that some of these key topics, even on morality, is, you know, not as important as trying to get as many votes to the Republican Party, so they start to abandon things like that? Is this a sign that Republicans are completely abandoning the moral side that we once relied on, meaning, hey, we're the family values, hey, we're this, hey, we're that? You put an Amber Rose up there, that completely, you know, I know we've been going down the path of throwing that away to begin with. Where do you find that the compromise begins, to the point where you start to turn on some of these key issues, knowing that it's a losing proposition?
Yeah, I think that's a great question and very, very good topic to be talking about, because that is exactly why you question some of these guests. You go, well, are you really a part of what traditional conservatism is? Or are you a part of what not liberalism is right now? Because that seems to be what's happening, is a lot of people are not saying, gosh, I really am an economic conservative or a social conservative. It's they're just saying, you know what, the sort of the stifling of speech is a big one. The things that progressives have done in the last 4 to 8 years, I mean, especially during COVID, would be a big one.
Yeah.
They go, you know what, I may not be a Republican. I don't necessarily want to put the Republican elephant on my lapel, but I'm definitely not that thing. And I used to be that thing. I used to be a donkey. I used to be in that party, and I'm not anymore. So I'm not really sure what I am. And you're seeing, you know, a little leak of people who are willing to actually go ahead and say, well, you know what, if I'm not that, maybe I am a conservative. Maybe I am a Republican now. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of these people ask the questions and at least open up the mind and their ideals enough to say, well, maybe my dad's Republican Party is not even what this is anymore. And so I don't think it's as much of an abandonment of values as it is saying, look, we don't have to agree on all this. We just know that we're not those things. So if we can agree on, let's say, 75% of it, then we can all get along. That's kind of what Haley said last night. I disagree with Donald Trump quite a bit, but I agree with him more than I disagree with him. So I think that's kind of where the party is.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think that a lot of Democrats have pointed out, too, that look where our party has gone. It's gone so far left, it's unrecognizable. And those are the ones that are starting to be the loudest voices in our party. So they get upset about those things. There's going to be the casual type of people that necessarily don't vote every time. They don't care to vote. And I think Democrats' goal, and that's a huge strategy of theirs, is to try to get those people to the polling places, the ones that don't vote. And they just assume that they're going to vote Democrat because they have it. A lot of times it's in these large metropolitan cities that have been blue forever. Now the Republican Party says, look who we got on our side. You don't know anything about us, right? All you know is that, hey, times are tough. You can barely make rent. Guess who did that? Joe Biden. Guess what it's been like over the past 4 years? The Democrat Party, the people that have been leading you, are treating you so well. Look what we got. We got Amber Rose, and we want to put an end to that garbage. And, oh, yeah. And, you know, those guys that want to go into your daughter's bathroom and dressing rooms, we're cutting that garbage out. You know, these people that are coming into our country illegally. Remember how you had to come legally? You know, all these people from these other third world countries. Remember how you went through the right process and now they just want to open up the gates for anyone that doesn't? Hey, that's not us. So they might not know the platform, but they know, like, hey, these guys are like talking some common sense right now. And maybe it doesn't matter who that person is and the other things that they may believe in, as long as they can point to that one person. Hey, it's Amber Rose. Maybe that's enough to get people to get out and vote for Republican for the first time.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm glad you brought up Amber Rose because that was Monday. We did a whole show yesterday. I don't think we mentioned her at all, but I've been watching. I don't know why, maybe just lifestyle choices, that I've been watching the convention later. So when it starts, I'm probably still in the midst of bedtime with kids and things. So I'm not quite catching like the keynote speakers as much until later. But I am watching a lot of coverage of it and listening to a lot of coverage of it. And I'll tell you what, Monday night, I turned on streaming HBO Max. I guess they have an agreement. Maybe they're owned by the same company, CNN. So they were streaming live coverage of CNN covering the GOP convention. And they would go back. They had two panels, Ryan. One of them was led by Jake Tapper with about four people around him. The other one was led by Anderson Cooper with about four people around him. And every 15 minutes, they just go back and forth between them. Well, one of the entire 15 minutes with Van Jones, and that's one of the more famous clips that came from this, but I was watching it live. They talked about Amber Rose and the black vote for the entire segment of that panel's time. And all they kept coming back to was, We're not going to lose the black vote, because they're talking as Democrats. We're not going to, and they had one random Republican on there who was not doing a very good job. But they were saying, we're not going to lose the black vote, but we are going to lose a percentage of it more than we're used to.
Yeah.
And Van Jones had the famous clip now that has said, I've heard it a few times randomly, of him saying, hey, this is a problem. When you got Amber Rose up there, that is busting up our coalition, and that is a problem for us. So it is a big deal.
Busting up the coalition. You know what they say? Busting makes you feel good, just like the old Ghostbusters. So let me try to get inside the Wiggins household. You're trying to put your kids to bed at night, and they're saying, Daddy, Daddy, please read us another story. And you say, sorry, I have to go listen to Amber Rose.
Yeah, and I was not watching the RNC. I was watching just her other stuff, but
no, I'm afraid to even Google her name sometimes.
I know. I'm like, I don't know about this. I actually did on Twitter. I clicked on because I didn't know who she was. I think I had seen her because apparently she dated Kanye and stuff. She's kind of aware that the person exists, but I didn't know anything about her. So I did click on her, and that was a little bit of a mistake because some images come up that you go, I hope there's no check on me here, because I would be flagging that check. These are images that you don't necessarily want to have in your search history if you're trying to stay a good Christian boy.
Yeah, well, is Ethan the resident young person? Ethan, do you know Amber Rose before this?
I knew Amber Rose just from that she dated Kanye, and you see, she was on like a lot of tabloid covers and stuff that you'd see in passing
right
at the
now.
Store or whatever, but outside of that, no.
You're smiling. You knew exactly what was going on. I saw that look on your face.
Are you implying that I like Amber Rose for other reasons right now, Ryan Recker?
Yes, I am implying that.
You would be wrong.
Okay. I feel you sometimes don't know what you're walking into because you're ignorant of all of it, and sometimes it's better to be ignorant and just not investigate further on people's backgrounds.
I will say I have much more interest in Kanye West than I do in Amber Rose.
Yeah, maybe Kanye. Is Kanye a good example of what happened last election that kind of backfired? They thought they were going to pull in the Kanye, and that vote would be basically the effect they're hoping. And it kind of backfired because of the Kanye being Kanye. Now they're trying it again with Amber Rose. Could this backfire too, kind of like Kanye?
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, Kanye didn't speak at the convention, so that's a good thing. He didn't really like come out and speak at anything, which is a good move because you just never know with that guy. But yeah, it's possible. I mean, you really don't know with these people. They're wild cards for sure. So they may do things that later you go, yeah, not such a good idea. But it is interesting that they're willing because this is a career-changing move. Like when you do this and you're an influencer at that level, you have decided I'm throwing my hat in this ring now and more people are talking about her. And this is probably why you do it. More people are talking about her now than maybe had been ever before. But is it the attention you want for your career? She said yes. And that's kind of a big deal.
Yep. All right. When we come back, I heard this phrase that Project 2025 is the defibrillator for Democrats right now, hoping to bring their chances back to life. That's interesting. And, you know, I read this other article on The Hill that talks about all the political rivals of Donald Trump now behind Donald Trump. And I thought about myself personally, and I thought, if he said the things he did to me personally, could I ever stand on a stage and endorse him? I don't know if I could, but maybe that's why I can't be in politics. So let's talk about those things. Wiggins America coming up later this hour, too. I know you want to talk about SCOTUS and some of the potential changes to the Supreme Court. We actually reached out to Brad Young. He's going to join us later in the show, too. He's much more of an X's and O's type of guy, legal breakdowns. But what a big story this is, because for a while there, it was all hypothetical attacks on the Supreme Court. Now it's a real attack on the Supreme Court. So
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get all of these things in. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Happy to be with you here today on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. So I heard the phrase referring to Project 2025 as the quote-unquote defibrillator. The Democrats hope to bring them back to life. I think that may be perhaps the best way to try to explain that talking point. And I know we have the Heritage Foundation on here, the radio station, quite frequently. I know I don't fill in every week, and I do fill in a lot, though, because it's nice to because I, you know, get a little extra money to do this, which is fantastic. and it helps supplement, you know.
That comes out of my salary. It's really, I don't like it.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that. But what I say is, for the most part, when I fill in, we do have experts from the Heritage Foundation. How much did you know about Project 2025 before the Democrats brought it up? Did you know much about it?
So I started hearing about it because Democrats started bringing it up.
I think that's what's the point in all of this. It's they're using it in this way, right? It's not because it's something that it's like this grand conspiracy that Republicans have. It's something that the Democrats are using as like a boogeyman.
Yeah. And you know that they're doing it because they started using it and they're like, you know, we're going to really go hard on this. And they were. And that's fine. That's a strategy. But then Trump came out and said, I don't actually know anything about this. It has nothing to do with my campaign. And also, I pretty much don't like parts of it. And he said that all publicly, and it's written and it's timestamped for anybody to see anywhere. And you can say, well, some of these people who are part of Project 2025, they worked in his previous administration. That's fine. I mean, that's Washington. So, but it doesn't mean that he's asking them, please come up with a plan for me. Let's do Project 2025. I mean, he publicly said, this is not my thing. Mm-hmm. Yet, Democrats were so devoted to it already that they basically ignored that fact, which is now a published fact, and have said, doesn't matter. We're going to say that's Trump's plan anyway. Yep.
I think I have Donald Trump's exact quote here. Let me read it. It was, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, I think he called Project 2025 Willis. It was weird.
Yeah. So some of the points of Project 2025, it's a long, what is it, like 900 pages or something like that. And So Heritage Foundation is this independent like think tank, and they have a lot of different experts that have had basically experience in sometimes different parts of government, sometimes private sector. But, you know, they have legal experts and they have national security experts, and you hear a lot of them on this radio station, and they really have a great perspective. And I've always enjoyed interviews through the Heritage Foundation. And I think those people have ideas of what they think would help the United States of America in a situation where we got a lot of problems. So here are some of the things we can do to try to solve some of these problems. You may not agree with it, but when they put a report together, it's basically, here are some things we think would be helpful. And you get, in this case, MSNBC, CNN banging on the drum, and I'm 100% positive. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say that. 99% positive that this is a coordinated, hey, this is what we need to do for our campaign, for our person, Joe Biden, because we're not going to be able to run on Bidenomics anymore. That's a gone, foregone conclusion. It's not great. The border's not great. So we can't really run on immigration, and we're stopping that. So they've tried to kick the tires on a couple of these things to make it sound like the Biden administration is, you know, supporting and doing all these good things. But none of the things that they brought up mesh with the reality of what people are actually feeling in America. So then they say, okay, what we need to do is say, well, if you do put Donald Trump back in, here's what your future looks like. Now they want to go into the fortune telling. So now we're going to take this Project 2025 and we're going to say, this is what the future looks like. And that is their boogeyman in something like this. And the defibrillator is the right way to say it. They're going to try to use that to bring Joe Biden back to life. It's not going to work, though. It's like that moment in Mean Girls where they say, stop trying to make fetch happen. Fetch isn't going to happen. That's them. That's their fetch.
No, I think you're right. It's too deep. It's not an average voter topics. Like they're right. They have searched the average voter topics and gone, well, we're losing on all these. So how do we go deeper? And so they're really just kind of playing to, you know, if people who are listening to 97.1 right now, you're pretty plugged in. The equivalent of you on the left is really concerned about Project 2025 because those are the people who are super plugged in. They were already voting Democrat no matter who it was. Wrecker, when we talked to Hans von Spakovsky about this, Annie did, a week or two ago. Yeah, Heritage Foundation, legal expert, and asked him that question. Like, tell me about Project 2025, because it's a talking point on the left for sure. And he really broke it down in ways that I didn't even know. And he didn't talk about the specifics of this year's version. What he talked about is this always exists. Like every administration that comes out every 4 years, they put one of these out and it would be called Project 1984 or whatever, 1985. Like they've been doing it, he said, since Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And back then, they would, you know, before email, they'd have to print the whole thing out and take it to Ronald Reagan or somebody in administration and say, here you go, here's our suggestion. They always do it. And so whether an administration listens or not is entirely up to them. They're just saying, here's what we think is a good plan. They've always done it. This year's no different. It's just become a thing because Democrats don't have anything else.
This is their inside baseball. I love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there were successful liberal talk show hosts, this is all they'd be talking about.
If Al Franken was still doing a show, which I don't think he is, this is
who knows
it would be Project 2025 all day.
Yeah, he's still waiting to get that call to be put back on the air, isn't he? So what is Al Franken up to nowadays?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. If the Air America was still around, yes. If you tuned in to Air America right now, if it was still there, this is what they would be talking about every single topic. It's so funny because as talk show hosts that put content together, I get that because there's these certain things that you're like, okay, this we have to kind of talk about this because it's what everyone's talking about. This would be the liberal talk show host dream because they found something to bang a drum on. But I think in the back of their mind, they know it wouldn't be resonating because number one, they probably wouldn't read it. But I see the Joy Reads and I see these like, we're going to go cry in front of a camera. And you remember when Joe Biden during the last election said they're going to put you back in chains? This is their like version of that, which is, hey, Republicans are going to put you in chains, fill in the blank minority group. And they're using this as like, this is the new tactic. And I don't think they're buying it, in, except for the ones that are already voting Democrat. There's not like a independent that's looking at this and is concerned about it, I don't think.
I think you're exactly right. I think we've broken this down probably about as well as it needs to by saying they looked at issues like immigration, like economy, like crime, whatever you want, and said, yeah, okay, well, we're not doing well on these. The other one, though, Ryan, that we haven't mentioned is a threat to democracy. That, you know, oh, yeah, they've used that's been the thing that they've constantly said. And then they go, oh, well, you know, the president was almost assassinated. Maybe we turned down the Hitler threat to democracy stuff. But they aren't. They've gone right back to it.
Right.
But the threat to democracy thing is funny because they've really ran with that. And I think it's just kind of gotten lodged in Biden's brain. And he just kind of keeps saying it because that's, you know, he's on autopilot in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because it's not working. Like polling shows that if you ask voters in, I think, multiple polls now, at least one that I've seen, who is a bigger threat to democracy, Democrats or Republicans? Democrats are actually winning that poll in the reverse. You know, like they're actually, people are saying they're more of a threat to democracy when you ask the poll question.
So going back to the 2016 election again, too, if you remember when the Republicans were still trying to pick their candidate and it came down to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. One of the things Donald Trump said was and suggested Ted Cruz's dad was part of the conspiracy to kill JFK or something like what was, I think that's what it was. And I thought, okay, what a crazy thought. But either way, Donald Trump gets the nomination and later Ted Cruz turns around and he's helping fundraise for Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And even at a moment like that, I thought, if that was me, I could never, ever do that. But now we have people that Donald Trump has not talked so kindly of in the Republican Party, because sometimes those people will say bad things about him. He'll turn around and say bad things about them, too. But they're out there and they're some of their biggest surrogates right now. Do you think you could ever do that? Is that only a politician thing that where, let's say, you get really railed on unfairly by Donald Trump, and next thing you know, you're on stage at the convention giving a big speech to Root?
Yeah, she's a bird brain. Like you can't come back from calling somebody an idiot and be like, ah, you know what? No, she's fine. Like that stuff is unique to politics, and maybe it's business. I will say, I hate that stuff, but I will say that I've, you know, when you're trying to pitch TV shows, which I've done, mm-hmm, people will spurn you, and they're not calling you names. They just ignore you, or they set a meeting and then they cancel it last minute on you and stuff like that, where clearly they have no real regard for you or your time, that they're more important than you. at some point, you do have to kind of swallow your pride. But there's always that line where you go, I'm not just going to keep doing this. So I don't know. I really don't know until I'm in that situation how far I'm willing to be like, you know what? I'm going to put my ego aside for the betterment of myself in this moment, because that's all it is.
Wait, hold on. You've pitched TV shows?
Yeah, yeah.
When did this happen?
Oh, I've always done this. My job before 97.1 was in television production.
Oh, I didn't know you pitch shows. Okay, so you were pitching on behalf of someone else, or were you trying to create a television show?
Yeah, we actually created television shows and then tried to pitch either new ideas or the ones we already had made. We still do.
How come I don't know about this? So where did you pitch your shows, and what type of shows were they?
We've pitched to lots of people. The easiest doors we got into was with Christian networks, because we had fairly clean content, even if it wasn't Christian. But we have pitched to NBC, Peacock. We've pitched to some of the bigger ones before. I don't think we ever did Netflix. But I've been talking to a network lately that I don't know if anything's going to happen, because they always look like, oh, maybe, and then you just wait forever and nothing happens, which is why, you know, I don't have a TV show that you're watching right now. But that's the nature of the business. It takes a long time.
All right. Are you uncomfortable talking about this because nothing's happened, or can I keep asking you questions about it?
You can. I don't know how much detail I can give you, but I can answer your questions as much as possible.
Are you pitching things like Ryan Wiggins travels America and eats hot wings?
No,
is this the type of stuff?
Those shows are dead. Those shows are a dime a dozen. And apparently, from the people I've talked to, here's some interesting behind the scenes stuff. From the people I've talked to, all of those cheap kind of shows are just dead, because there's just so many of them that people are producing them and they don't have anywhere to go with them. I was talking in February to a network executive at a streaming network. I won't say which one. And I don't think she knows what I do for a living. I literally set this meeting and she canceled it twice. And then finally was like, okay, I can meet with you on Friday or whatever. So I'd finally talked to her, and again, don't think she had any idea what I do daily. She was just looking at the show I was pitching. And she said, man, you know what? And she was like eating popcorn in her house. You know, like this is the way things are now. She's not in an office. She's just in her home office, whatever. That's the way the world is. And she's super casual. And she's like, you know what? It drives me crazy. Out of the blue. Like, I didn't even say anything about this. She goes, you know what drives me crazy is all the pet issues that get projects funded. Because that's all they care about, is trying to make sure the project gets funded. That's all we care about, because that's how you make them. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, she's the person who looks for money for projects. That's what she does. That's who you want to be talking to. And she said, it drives me crazy that for the last year and a half, and this was at the beginning of this year, she said, anything associated with pro-Ukraine was getting a lot of attention. And she goes, and then all of a sudden, after about a year, it just isn't cool anymore. And then all the funding dries up and people move on. And she kind of said that same thing about DEI programming at that moment, but without saying DEI. She was using different vernacular. But she did say, you know, that's been the soup du jour lately. And now all of a sudden, that's not a big thing anymore. And that really caught my attention, that somebody in the TV industry said, yeah, the DEI stuff isn't popular right now for the money people. So it's all about the money. But there are trends. And I noted that and I thought, that is super interesting. Thank God I work at a conservative talk station and I can talk about things like this.
Wow. We may have to bring this up later on the show, because I know we got to take a break, but I'm so fascinated by this aspect of your life, Ryan Wiggins. And we do have Wiggins America coming up after the break, too. Looking forward to this topic, some ideas about maybe the Supreme Court and potential changes that the Biden administration is going to bring up. I think these are some pretty big deals to address. So we'll talk Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Really quick, if I can just poll you two. When you're on Facebook, do you get a lot of random sponsored posts of LeBron James and Michael Jordan, like debating who's better?
Man, I
or is
wish
that just me.
No, I wish I did, because clearly they're targeting you as a real man. What I've been getting is a bunch of sponsored ads of Meghan Trainor singing about her dog's hair.
What? Dog's hair. So you don't get the Michael Jordan, LeBron James stuff?
No.
Facebook doesn't understand. I don't like LeBron James. I'm not going to say he's ever better than Michael Jordan, but they keep sending it to me no matter how many times I mute it or hide it. They keep sending it to me, and I thought maybe it's just a Facebook thing. So it doesn't have Ethan, does that happen to you at all?
No, not from Facebook specifically. I feel like sometimes people that I'm friends with bring up that argument, but never from Facebook specifically.
Record. I don't even watch basketball.
Maybe you are interested in it and you don't know it yet.
No, I was just looking at my phone during the break and I got like two more of these sponsored posts on Facebook and I thought, why are they still showing this to me?
Are they trying to sneak a product in there or is it just the debate itself?
No, it's just the debate. It's the, oh, Michael Jordan's terrible, LeBron's great, or vice versa. And I'm like, I don't even watch basketball. I don't even care
Maybe watch it just long enough to see if, like, at about a minute in, they go, and check out Tender Vittles.
There's no video. It's just a post where they show a picture of stats. All right, let's do this. Wiggins!
Oh, Wiggins!
All right, let's talk about the Supreme Court. President Biden, and this is a lot of this is from the Washington Post, President Biden is finalizing plans. So you like policy? Here's some policy for you. He's going to endorse major changes to the Supreme Court in the coming weeks. Now, when I say that sentence, Ryan, do you think, I'll probably like these changes? No? Okay.
I think mostly anytime Biden talks about changes to the Supreme Court, it's super radical. So I'm curious how radical these could be.
All right. Well, here's a couple of the ways that he's proposing these changes. Now, keep in mind, I don't think there's any way, and think is the key word there, because I don't think there's any way he can do this unilaterally. I think he needs Congress. But these days, what's the law? You know, I mean, who cares? He's the president. He's just going to issue an executive order or whatever. Anyway, here is what he's proposing for changes to the Supreme Court. Establishing term limits is number one. What do you think?
What you're saying is Biden 2025. Is this the game plan? Term limits to court justices. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, that's number one. And I got to say, you know, I'm not sure that that's a bad idea. But, you know, that's sort of the opening salvo. The next one is, justices would have an enforceable ethics code.
Also, I all of these things that you're going to say, I'm going to probably be against. And there's reasons why I'm against them. But before we get into it, I'll just say no. I don't think this is a good idea.
The idea of an enforceable ethics code for the Supreme Court, to me, is not awful. The problem is, we already have a checks and balances system. That's the whole reason we have the different branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. When you start giving more and more power to the presidential, the executive branch, which is what this is proposing, then you're taking it away from somebody else. Now, you might argue, yeah, they need that power taken away. If you're on the left, you're certainly going to say things like, Clarence Thomas accepting vacations from people who weren't associated with any particular cases, but were conservative, certainly, is wrong. You could come back and say that Justice Sotomayor should not be taking money for books from those same types of people on the left. So you could say there should be some sort of ethics code, but the problem is there already has been an ethics code. This would actually just be transferring power to the probably executive branch. I don't know if Congress would be involved, depending on how they structure it. So that's where I have a problem with it, is that you already have a balance of powers. This is sort of saying, we want more of that power to limit your power. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So I come at it a little bit differently, because I think that what you're essentially saying is we deserve the power to weaponize the court system or procedures in order to harass or kick off Supreme Court justices. So going back to the term limit side, this is where I think that it could be dangerous, because and even when you talk about ethics codes, when you start to say that the Supreme Court has this, let's say, master over them. Like, we're gonna put this over the Supreme Court, and we're gonna be the ones that can control them. Then what you're saying is the Supreme Court is not independent. What you're saying is the Supreme Court is held accountable to a partisan person who may be in office or controlling the Congress at that time. And when you have someone controlling them and they're not independent, then it becomes truly partisan Supreme Court as well. They're not basing their decisions on what would be the constitutional law. They're basing it based on, well, whoever's in control, we need to appease them so we don't lose our job. And there's different parts of government that has these types of, hey, you cannot do this to them. In the Supreme Court being the highest of high, you can't do that to them, because what you would ultimately be doing is saying that, let's say, the president of the United States or whoever controls Congress ultimately is in decision of the justice system too. That is a terrible thing to ultimately self-impose on the Supreme Court. So that's why I'm against it.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And the other question is always, well, whose ethics? Because yes, an ethics code sounds nice, but at first it would be things of, certainly it would be things that most people probably would agree with. You can't accept money from outside groups or stuff. You know, you go, okay, well, I agree with that. But then the minute they start to have that enforcement power, then it's exactly what you just said. One party gets in power and says, well, we're going to add something to that ethics code. For instance, if a Supreme Court justice ever uses the wrong pronouns with anybody in the court,
you're okay.
That you just broke an ethics rule and now you're subject to being tossed out of the court. Like, that kind of stuff's real. That's how it's used. It's never at the beginning, but it is eventually. And let me get to the last one real quick with just a minute left here. Now, this isn't necessarily related to the Supreme Court itself, but it's based on what the Supreme Court has said, that Biden is weighing whether to call for a constitutional amendment to eliminate broad immunity for presidents and other constitutional office holders. Now, to me, Ryan, a lot of this seems like pandering stuff to kind of get the conversation back onto, you know, leftist power issues, you know, get the conversation going again on that side, because I don't think there's any way for them to change the Constitution at this
point. Yeah, and I don't think there's any way to put that genie back in the bottle. When you have weaponized the justice system against your political opponent, and to say that the protections for them should be removed is, to me, just another power play that we need to watch out for. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry. Don't go anywhere on 97.1 FM Talk. Ryan Recker filling in. You can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Really quick, if I can just poll you two. When you're on Facebook, do you get a lot of random sponsored posts of LeBron James and Michael Jordan, like, debating who's better?
Man, I wish.
Or is that just me?
No, I wish I did, because clearly they're targeting you as a real man. What I've been getting is a bunch of sponsored ads of Meghan Trainor singing about her dog's hair.
What? Dog's hair. So you don't get the Michael Jordan, LeBron James stuff?
No.
Facebook doesn't understand. I don't like LeBron James. I'm not going to say he's ever better than Michael Jordan, but they keep sending it to me no matter how many times I mute it or hide it. They keep sending it to me, and I thought maybe it's just a Facebook thing. So it doesn't have Ethan, does that happen to you at all?
No, not from Facebook specifically. I feel like sometimes people that I'm friends with bring up that argument, but never from Facebook specifically.
Record, I don't even watch basketball.
Maybe you are interested in it, and you don't know it yet.
No, I was just looking at my phone during the break. And I got like two more of these sponsored posts on Facebook. And I thought, why are they still showing this to me?
Are they trying to sneak a product in there? Or is it just the debate itself?
No, it's just the debate. It's the, oh, Michael Jordan's terrible, LeBron's great, or vice versa. And I'm like, I don't even watch basketball. I don't even care
Maybe watch it just long enough to see if, like, at about a minute in, they go, and check out Tender Vittles.
There's no video. It's just a post where they show a picture of stats. All right, let's do this. Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
All right, let's talk about the Supreme Court. President Biden, and a lot of this is from the Washington Post, President Biden is finalizing plans. So you like policy? Here's some policy for you. He's going to endorse major changes to the Supreme Court in the coming weeks. Now, when I say that sentence, Ryan, do you think I'll probably like these changes? No? Okay.
I think mostly anytime Biden talks about changes to the Supreme Court, it's super radical. So I'm curious how radical these could be.
All right. Well, here's a couple of the ways that he's proposing these changes. Now, keep in mind, I don't think there's any way, and think is the key word there, because I don't think there's any way he can do this unilaterally. I think he needs Congress. But these days, what's the law? You know, I mean, who cares? He's the president. He's just going to issue an executive order or whatever. Anyway, here is what he's proposing for changes to the Supreme Court. Establishing term limits is number one. What do you think?
What you're saying is Biden 2025. Is this the game plan? Term limits to court justices. No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay. That's number one. And I gotta say, you know, I'm not sure that that's a bad idea, but, you know, that's sort of the opening salvo. The next one is, justices would have an enforceable ethics code.
Also, I all of these things that you're going to say, I'm going to probably be against. And there's reasons why I'm against them. But before we get into it, I'll just say no. I don't think this is a good idea.
The idea of an enforceable ethics code for the Supreme Court, to me, is not awful. The problem is, we already have a checks and balances system. That's the whole reason we have the different branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. When you start giving more and more power to the presidential, the executive branch, which is what this is proposing, then you're taking it away from somebody else. Now, you might argue, yeah, they need that power taken away. If you're on the left, you're certainly going to say things like, Clarence Thomas accepting vacations from people who weren't associated with any particular cases, but were conservative, certainly, is wrong. You could come back and say that Justice Sotomayor should not be taking money for books from those same types of people on the left. So you could say there should be some sort of ethics code, but the problem is there already has been an ethics code. This would actually just be transferring power to the probably executive branch. I don't know if Congress would be involved, depending on how they structure it. So that's where I have a problem with it, is that you already have a balance of powers. This is sort of saying, we want more of that power to limit your power. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So I come at it a little bit differently, because I think that what you're essentially saying is we deserve the power to weaponize the court system or procedures in order to harass or kick off Supreme Court justices. So going back to the term limit side, this is where I think that it could be dangerous, because and even when you talk about ethics codes, when you start to say that the Supreme Court has this, let's say, master over them, like we're gonna put this over the Supreme Court and we're gonna be the ones that can control them, then what you're saying is the Supreme Court is not independent. What you're saying is the Supreme Court is held accountable to a partisan person who may be in office or controlling the Congress at that time. And when you have someone controlling them and they're not independent, then it becomes truly partisan Supreme Court as well. They're not basing their decisions on what would be the constitutional law. They're basing it based on, well, whoever's in control, we need to appease them so we don't lose our job. And there's different parts of government that has these types of, hey, you cannot do this to them. In the Supreme Court, being the highest of high, you can't do that to them, because what you would ultimately be doing is saying that, let's say, the president of the United States or whoever controls Congress ultimately is in decision of the justice system too. That is a terrible thing to ultimately self-impose on the Supreme Court. So that's why I'm against it.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. And the other question is always, well, whose ethics? Because yes, an ethics code sounds nice, but at first it would be things of, certainly it would be things that most people probably would agree with. You can't accept money from outside groups or stuff. You go, okay, well, I agree with that. But then the minute they start to have that enforcement power, then it's exactly what you just said. One party gets in power and says, well, we're going to add something to that ethics code. For instance, if a Supreme Court justice ever uses the wrong pronouns with anybody in the court,
you're okay.
That you just broke an ethics rule and now you're subject to being tossed out of the court. Like, that kind of stuff's real. That's how it's used. It's never at the beginning, but it is eventually. And let me get to the last one real quick with just a minute left here. Now, this isn't necessarily related to the Supreme Court itself, but it's based on what the Supreme Court has said, that Biden is weighing whether to call for a constitutional amendment to eliminate broad immunity for presidents and other constitutional office holders. Now, to me, Ryan, a lot of this seems like pandering stuff to kind of get the conversation back onto, leftist power issues, get the conversation going again on that side, because I don't think there's any way for them to change the Constitution at this
point. Yeah, and I don't think there's any way to put that genie back in the bottle when you have weaponized the justice system against your political opponent, and to say that the protections for them should be removed is, to me, just another power play that we need to watch out for. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.